You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
We just got back from Chile, you know, and so we were flying in, and I was thinking Philip's going to minister Sunday, glory. Pastor Rhonda's going to minister Wednesday, hallelujah, and then I'll minister Sunday. But then Monday night, well, I guess it was, I don't know if it was Monday morning. I think it was Monday morning. I woke up and the Lord dealt with me about partaking of communion, the Lord's table tonight. And he told me to minister along the line of the blood. And so we're just going to talk about a few things. But when I do this, you know, maybe some of you are new to the church. We used to do communion every fifth Sunday. We used to do it like that until it became a ritual. And I don't do rituals. And so we stopped doing it and like that because communion or the Lord's table is supposed to have power with it. And anything that becomes a habit or you don't esteem it, it becomes religious. And in religion, there's no power. And so then we begin to do it as the Spirit of God leads. And so that's just the way I do it right now. I try to let people know ahead of time and thank God for technology, you know, and emails and text messages, I can let you know. And I know Wednesday night is kind of an unusual night to do it because everybody can't always come to church. But thank God for video. They can watch. And a number of people do on live stream, and then they can join in later, and they can go to the grocery store and get some bread. It doesn't have to be one of them round things. That's not in the Bible, you know. You know, and you can take grape juice, and I know some people get particular about white or red. I know the red represents the blood more, but if you have new carpet, white's okay too. It's symbolic. It doesn't become anything when you take it anyway. You have to release your faith in the symbol. And so if you want to partake with us tonight, you do not have to be a member of this church. You just need to do some inventory, and you need to make sure as you partake of it, you do it worthily. What does that mean? Worthily just means that everything's okay vertically. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. Because we're going to talk about the blood tonight. I remember I tell this story a lot. When I was a little kid, I would never take communion. Because they brought up that part, you know, you need to make sure everything is right between you and the Lord. And I just thought, you know, the devil would always bring to me the 10 things I did wrong the day before. And so I grew up believing I was never right with God. And so I'm grateful to have found out the reality of the blood, the reality of grace, the reality of God's goodness, the reality of some things that I want to share with you tonight. And so, and it also, there's a good book if you haven't gotten one. It's called No Longer Condemned. It's in the bookstore, and I absolutely believe the first book I wrote was good. I think the second book is way better, and so it's more readable. The first book's more like a study guide. The second book, I just, if you know anyone that's feeling condemned about anything, they should read it. I was grateful, and I'm very excited to get it translated into Spanish, because in Chile, just even dealing with the pastors that I dealt with, I realized how much condemnation there really was, because there's not enough revelation of righteousness, there's not enough revelation of the blood of Jesus, and there's not enough revelation of we live in the epistles. Are you grateful for the Gospels? But that was Old Covenant. I said, no, it's not. That's in the New Covenant. No, it's not. It's part of the New Testament, but it's not part of the New Covenant. The New Covenant begins in Romans. And we don't ignore the Gospels. We need the Gospels. Nothing has been written. I've got to help somebody. Like, did he just say that's not? No, the Gospels are very important. And I disagree with people say you need to get rid of the Old Covenant. In other words, the Old Testament, you don't need to read in there. Well, if that's true, then why was it quoted? Why did Jesus quote it? And so you need to know the words of Jesus, but you need to, I don't know why am I talking about this. I got stuff to do. You need to know who he's talking to when he's talking to somebody. What? Help me. Anyway, so don't shake your head at me. Pastor Rhonda had it on her heart while we were down there to minister to the ladies. And so we took an extra hour. And she says, you need to do something with the guys. So I didn't have anything prepared around my heart. So somebody came up with the wise idea of questions and answers. And it was me. I would love to blame her, but it was me. And the question and the answer started off really good. But we got to something that I really feel like somebody in the room needs to hear. Because, are you grateful for the blood of Jesus? That's what we're going to talk about. Are you grateful for its cleansing power? Are you grateful that there's forgiveness in the blood? Well, one of these pastors, and we didn't know them all, the question he asked me was about remarriage and being a person who, after you remarried, you're living in adultery. And so I was like, what? After a divorce. Didn't I say that? So the person got divorced, and then they got remarried, and so now that person lives in adultery. And so then all 30-some-odd, well, so that made 64 eyeballs on me. And because, you know, so I wish I would have had this message, or I wish my book would have been translated. And somebody needs to hear this tonight. The blood of Jesus, there's one unpardonable sin. Just one. And that's rejecting the Lord Jesus. If you hang out with us, we don't believe in living in sin around here. Amen? And we know God hates divorce. But after you get a divorce, getting remarried is not the unpardonable sin, and it's not continuous adultery. Because you live in a new covenant. And wouldn't it be funny? You know, it's not funny, but then, so I tried to explain that to them. And then I got another question. And then I got a third question. Then I got a follow-up. You know, like, so a minister, you know, the question was this. Why am I talking about this to you all? If a minister gets divorced, then gets remarried, they shouldn't be. I mean, it wasn't really a question. It was a statement. They should no longer be in ministry. Well, that tells me that they don't understand that the blood of Jesus is powerful. And that's what we're going to talk about. So I want everybody in this room to realize that you in this room, how many of you know we're not, because we're born, are you born again? Yes. Has the blood of Jesus cleansed you? Yes. How many of you in this room are planning on living in sin? Let's raise our hands to that one. Are you? No. No. And so since we're not doing that, then we're going to get to something, and that's just where we're going to start. We're going to start with the blood of Jesus being powerful. And we're going to just remind ourselves tonight of how powerful this blood is. Revelation chapter 1. I mean, if you're going to start something, let's start in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, who is the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." How many of you are born again? Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been washed in the blood? Now, what about this blood? This blood flowed from a spotless lamb. This blood flowed from a spotless lamb. In the old covenant, they would take the blood of lambs and offer it, and it would do what? It would cover the sins of the people for a year. And I don't have time to go into all of it, but there's a difference in covering and removing. We used to sing a song until I got tired of it because it wasn't scriptural. It used to be this: covered, covered, covered by his blood. I've been covered by his blood. I've been covered. If you're in the old covenant, you've been covered. But in the new covenant, the sins that you once lived in, that once were going to send you, the sin of rejecting Jesus that was going to send you to hell, the sins that you lived in and practiced that were going to get a paycheck of death, you've been washed from those. You've been cleansed from those. You were unrighteous, and the blood of Jesus made you righteous. Amen. You've been washed in the blood. I remember this, and we're going to get into it, and I'm excited about it, so I'm trying to help you. I use that because I guess it was fresh on my mind about the adultery and not understanding the cleansing power of the blood. We are not saying it, and if you read my first book, you'll understand. I believe if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of your flesh. I believe that you and I can live a sin-free life. I believe you and I do not have to yield to our bodies and practice sin. I believe the power of the blood of Jesus is still as much as it's ever been. Will the devil try to tempt you? Will the devil try to get you off into sin? He sure will, because you have a body and because you have lust of your flesh. But thank God for the blood of Jesus that's still as powerful today as the day Jesus arrived in the throne room of God and put his blood on the mercy seat. Amen. That blood has never lost its power. That blood is still doing what it said it will do. The blood cleanses you. In Revelation, when he rose from the dead, the Bible says very clearly that the blood of Jesus washed you. Are you born again?
Yes.
Say, I'm washed in the blood. I'm washed in the blood. The Lord told me a long time ago is what I was going to say to you. He said, if you'll make much of the blood will make much of you. And in this day and the hour that we live in, we don't hear much sermons on the blood anymore, but you're going to hear all about the blood. Yes, it was gory. Yes, it was gross. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without a perfect, spotless lamb, without the Son of the living God, born of a virgin, hallelujah, with God's DNA, the Father's DNA on the inside of him, that spotless lamb grew up, and no one took his life as a lamb, but he willingly laid it down. And because that blood was spotless, you are no longer covered by your sins. The blood of Jesus has removed every guilt. It has removed every stain. It has removed every pain. It removed. That's why he boldly tells us that we don't need to look back. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. The Apostle Paul had the blood of men on his hands. And yet the blood of Jesus cleansed him. The blood of Jesus cleansed him. And I'm sure the devil wanted to tell him, look back, look back, look back. Anytime anyone tells you to look back, it is not of God. Because God is wanting you to live in the right now, and he's wanting you to look towards the future. And you can't even get to your future unless you know you're right now, that you're cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your past is forever gone. Anyone that tells you, and anyone that even tries to use the word to make you to look back, they're not understanding who you are today in Christ Jesus. Come on, if you've been forgiven. Have you been forgiven? Are you washed by the blood?
Yes.
Are you washed by the blood?
Yes.
Are you cleansed by the blood?
Yes.
Thank God for the blood.
Yes.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And then this, I love this scripture in 1 John chapter number 1. There's some controversy. There's no controversy here. But 1 John chapter 1, people are wondering today, do we as born-again believers need to confess our sin? Do we need to ask for forgiveness when we live in sin? And so let's look here at 1 John. Everybody say, nothing but the blood. Woo! We're going to sing some blood songs tonight when we're done. Hallelujah. Verse number 7, chapter 1 John 1, 7. I got to hurry up. But if we walk in the light, are you all walking in the light?
Yes.
What's the light? Well, that's the revelation of the word you have. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, John's gospel said Jesus was the light. So if you're walking, and Jesus is the word. So if you're walking in him, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you walk in the light, that's revelation of the word, and we have fellowship one with another. Now, a lot of people think that means the fellowship is this way. It means I'm fellowshipping with y'all. Like the game night, we're fellowshipping, that's good. But that's not what this is talking about. He doesn't change direction. He's talking about fellowship this way. And I won't argue with anyone that preaches it this way, because I hear it more. Most people preach it this way. But it's talking about this way in context. Because it says we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus does what? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanse us from all sin. That cleanse there, that's a verb. But if you look it up, it's a verb that's ongoing, continual. It's not a one-time deal. This is not like when you got born again. So if you walk in the light, say, I'm walking in the light. What does that mean? Everything you know, you're walking in it. Because to know to do right and don't do it, the Bible calls that sin. So I'm going to walk in the light as he's in the light, and I'm going to have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus is going to continually cleanse me. The Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we do what? They translate it into English for us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to do what?
Yes.
Of our? Yes. Plural. Oh, man, I got so much to tell you. Come to Bible Institute. Faith Foundations, I'll cover this a little bit in there. But, no, that's a Holy Spirit class. I cover this in a lot. See, when someone's not born again, the Holy Ghost only cares about one sin. And if you'll read it, when it talks in the Gospel of John, the Holy Ghost, he doesn't care nothing about your religious carts are going to get upset. Moo, I'm going to knock a cow over. Holy Ghost, to an unbeliever, you don't need to preach about them to quit adultery. Quit drinking. No more weed. It's still illegal. God made it. He also made scorpions and rattlesnakes. Please. Anyway, the Holy Ghost is not going to deal with them about that. It amuses me with Christians who are trying to get people to live right, who are not born again. They have a fallen nature. They cannot. Their nature, dogs bark, fishes swim. Believers are the only one who can believe and walk in the Spirit. It's a nature thing. And so someone with a fallen nature, the Holy Ghost deals with them about a sin, rejecting Jesus. This is plural. Now after, I don't know how long y'all walked with God, but if you start doing some nonsense, there's somebody on the inside of me who will say something. Not just her, somebody who lives on the inside that will say something. That's called conviction. And we want that. Because if you ever lose that, that means you've seared your conscience. When the Lord quits dealing with you about your mess, that means you have seared something. And that is not a good place to be. So, the blood of Jesus does what? It cleanses us. What? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says if we say we have not sinned and we make him a liar, his word's not in us. My little children. Well, that means to tell me he's writing to us. Are y'all little children?
Yeah.
These things I write to you that you don't sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate. Yeah. Who's our advocate? Jesus Christ the righteous, the one who took his blood and put it on the mercy seat. That blood is still available for you today, even as a born-again believer. If you mess up, you can confess your sin or your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you. But thank God the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, and if you'll walk in the Spirit, you don't have to live in, practice sin, or commit sin. Hallelujah. Everybody, are you grateful for the blood? If you'll walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus will continually cleanse you. It's like being hooked up to a machine. The blood of Jesus is always working on you. The blood of Jesus is always working on you. The blood of Jesus, your robes of righteousness are clean. Hallelujah. As long as you're walking in the light, as you're walking in the word, if you'll be a doer of the word, the blood of Jesus is flowing. The blood of Jesus is flowing. The blood of Jesus is flowing. Amen. And if you do become a knucklehead or get hit with a stupid stick, then you need to be confessing and applying the blood of Jesus, and he's faithful and he's just to forgive you. Everybody say, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. That's what we're talking about tonight. So what else did that blood do? Well, since we're there, let's talk about this. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. You look here and, wow, there's some rich things in this in the book of Hebrews about the blood of Jesus. And I'm so grateful for the blood. And we're going to get to everything tonight that we need to. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14. How much more? Well, it talks about in verse 11 about Jesus being the high priest over the tabernacle. Verse 12 said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered into the holy place, and having obtained redemption for us. So remember that one. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled unclean sanctified the pure of the flesh, how much more? Everybody say, how much more? So the blood back then covered their sin. They were good for a year. You're good for eternity. I'm not saying, you know, don't get, well, you believe once saved, always saved. Oh, please, come on. Let's not see how close we can stick to the world. Let's live saved. Let's talk saved. Let's get so saved that we're filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Let's get so saved. Let's get so full of the word and the blood that's not even a thought in our mind. How close can I live like them and talk like them and be like them and still make it to heaven? Come on, we're saved and we ought to act like saved folks. Oh, I should get a bigger amen than that. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So now, the blood of Jesus has saved us. We have been cleansed from all of our sin. Anything we did in the past, that old man, he's dead. And don't go putting no flowers on that grave. Leave it alone. Amen. You've been changed. You're a new creature. I had some people come from my hometown of Paris, Illinois, and they thought they knew me because everybody knows everybody, and they thought I used to go to their church. They were pastors. And actually, though, because it's a small town, I'm like, I know who you are. I used to work at McDonald's with your two daughters. And I said, but I would like you to tell them about me because the 16-year-old that they knew, he's dead. He wasn't a bad kid, but he wasn't saved. He wasn't living like it. And so they knew somebody else. So I said, you tell them that I'm born again. I even threw in filled with the Holy Ghost, even though I knew they weren't. Ooh. And then I live for Jesus today. I'm a new creature. That guy, that young guy they knew, he's dead. And yet, so when someone realizes that, that's a revelation. But the next revelation, because if you don't get this next one about the blood of Jesus will purge. What does it mean to purge? You ever purged your computer? You ever purged your iPhone? What does that mean? It means you get rid of everything. And it removes it. It removes the virus. It removes whatever was messing with you. It removes it. It removes the spyware. It'll remove what if you purge it. And so the blood of Jesus is so powerful that it'll purge your conscience. What is your conscience? Your conscience is part of your spirit that's part of your soul. It's intertwined in there together, but it's where a lot of people feel guilty. If you feel guilty all the time, if you feel like you're never enough, if you feel unworthy, if you're always feeling like you're never measuring up, then you need to put some blood, the blood of Jesus, on your conscience. And this is how I apply it. I just say what the scripture says. When something comes to my mind or I'm helping somebody else, I'll say this. You need to say what the Bible says. And it says the blood of Jesus has purged your conscience from dead works. So, well, that's just talking about people trying to work to get saved. That is an application of it. The other application is any kind of work, anything you did out of your flesh is dead works. So anything that comes to try to condemn you, anything that tries to come to make you feel less than, to make you feel like you're a sinner, you no longer have to have sin consciousness. You are washed in the blood of Jesus. Because if you have sin consciousness, like you're never going to measure up. That is sin, you know, that's that old thing. I'm just a sinner. And then they throw in saved by grace. You were a sinner. You were saved by grace, but now you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you're born again. You're a new creature. Amen. The blood of Jesus has washed you, and now you've got to let your conscience. Because, see, if your conscience condemns you, you won't have confidence before God. And if you don't have confidence before God, you won't have confidence before the devil. This is important. Everybody in the room say, the blood of Jesus, purges. Come on, see yourself hitting a button. Come on. Purges. It purges my conscience. Why is that so important? Because if your conscience condemns you, you won't have confidence before God. And if you can't have confidence before God, then this part of the blood, I'm just going to skip ahead. The blood of Jesus does what? It gives you boldness to enter into the throne room of what? And see, if you don't understand the blood of Jesus that gives you boldness to enter in, then you can't receive grace and mercy. Oh, you see how this is, how the devil does not want you to have a revelation of the blood of Jesus, does not want you to have a revelation of some of these things. So I'm just going to write some of these things down. So the blood of Jesus, Romans 5 and 9. Everybody say it before we go. Just one more time here in Hebrews 9:14. Say the blood of Jesus has purged my conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. Romans chapter 5. I'm not going to spend as much time on all these because we'll be here a long time. It says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we have been saved from the wrath through him. Glory to God. Amen. No wrath for me. Here or then. No wrath for me. Here or then. Because of the blood of Jesus. Because I've been justified. What does that mean? Well, you can say it like this. You can just make a play on the word. Justified, never sinned. I've been justified by the blood. Come on, somebody shout,
I have been
justified by the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. You've been redeemed. You've been bought back. You were a sinner that was bought back. It's like this. It's like you were because of the transfer of Adam to the devil, you were in under the devil's kingdom. And you were a slave to the things of this world, to the God of this world. You were a slave to him. And you ended up with the nature of a fallen man. But when the blood was shed, and it started when they put those crown, when they were mocking him, when they put that crown of thorns on his head and the blood began to flow. That's the moment. That's a moment when redemption began to happen. That's the moment where they were mocking him as a king, but the one who would be the eternal king that now sits on a throne room, who is crowned with glory and honor, that king began to shed his blood for you. And not even to mention before that, when they, you know, after that, when they tied him to the whipping post and began to beat him beyond human recognition, the blood began to flow. The blood, even before he got to the cross, the blood of Jesus began to flow here on the earth. And that blood was for your redemption. You've been redeemed from something. Amen. Galatians 3, 13 and 14 says, you've been redeemed. How have you been redeemed? You've been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been redeemed from something to something. You were redeemed from eternal death to eternal life. You were redeemed from sickness and disease to health and wholeness. You were redeemed from poverty and lack into wealth. You were redeemed from fear into peace. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. You were literally bought and paid for. You were bought and paid for, not by silver and gold, not by a corruptible thing, but by the most precious thing that ever was ever on this planet Earth, and that is a spotless lamb that shed his blood so that you and I could be redeemed. Everybody in the room shout, I have been redeemed. Woo! Hallelujah. You are also sanctified. Oh, can we go to church just a minute? Come on, are you sanctified? My mamma used to say I was sanctified a laughing. I don't know what she meant by that. I think I know what she meant, but I do know this scripture is in here. You've all been sanctified. You've all been set apart. Hebrews 13:12 says, wherefore also Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. How did he sanctify? He set you apart. He set you apart. Everybody say, I'm sanctified. Hallelujah. You've been given peace. Colossians 1:20. And having been made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be the things in earth or things in heaven. Listen to me. This is why people can say this. And I know religious people don't understand this. But God's not mad at you. The Father's not mad. He's not an angry God. People say, you know, how would it be to fall into the hands of an angry God? Well, he's not angry because the blood of Jesus took care of all that. He sent Jesus so that mankind would not have to experience the wrath. It's a choice now. I choose Jesus. I choose to believe he shed his blood. And the Bible says, and having peace. You have peace with God. He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. Oh, yeah, your sin. If I insist on living in sin, there's wages. There's a paycheck. It's called death. There is no person in this room, no person watching, no person on planet Earth. If you and I would persist in sin, a paycheck has to come. That's an irreversible law. The only way you can void that law is through confessing your sin and the blood of Jesus cleansing you. But I'm so grateful to know. This one helped me so much. Because when I was a little boy, after I got born again when I was 12, even after that, I loved God. I had a real genuine experience. I just thought he was always mad at me. Because that's what I was taught. He's mad at you. He's got a fly swatter and a baseball bat. Just waiting for you to mess up. It's the wrong kind of fear. You know, as a parent, don't say to your kid, well, if you do that wrong, God's going to get you. You better stop that. God's going to get you. I don't think we teach that in our parenting classes here. Because it's the wrong thing. No, sin will get you. The devil's waiting that if we open ourselves up. But it's good to know that I have peace. I have peace with God, and I have the peace of God because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Glory. So much to say. We already quoted this one, but Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now listen, Pastor Rhonda teaches this in her redemption class, so I don't want to give it away, but I'm gonna. And so, but the blood of Jesus is not like this thing that God, I know a lot of people teach this, don't get mad. He's got to, in order to look at me, in order to stand me, he's got to look at me through the blood of Jesus. Because I'm just a sinner. You were a sinner. But see, the blood of Jesus doesn't just cover you. The blood of Jesus changes you. You're a new creature. You're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You've been invited into the throne room, yes, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. And because that made you righteous. And now the righteous are bold as a lion. Why do you use that term? Well, because he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And so you're as bold as that lion. You now have access. Not once a year, not being a high priest, but being a child. You have access to the holiest, which was reserved in the old covenant just for a priest. Now, you know, someone said that this was it's kind of like an old fable. It's not the truth. I don't know. I don't know which it is, but we were taught that the high priest used to put a rope with a bell around him and go into the holy place, and if the bell quit ringing, that meant he was dead. And then someone told us that was just a fable, you know, that really didn't happen. One way or the other, back then, that was a scary proposition for the high priest, who was taking in the blood of a natural lamb to cover the sins of the people for a year was a big thing. And so, but now the throne room is not a scary place. You should visit. You should live there. You're seated there. You ought to get comfortable in the presence of God. If you're born again, the blood of Jesus has given you access to the Most High and the Most Holy. And therefore, you go into the throne room, and it's there where you receive mercy and grace for the time of need. And do you not understand why the devil would love to keep you out of there, and why he would love to keep you without a revelation of the reality of the blood of Jesus? Make no mistake about it, the devil hates the blood of Jesus. Make no mistake about it, if the churches all over the world will continue to do what they are doing and not talk about the blood, that would make the enemy very happy. Because even though it's an old song, it is a truth, there's still power in the blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that saves. It's the only thing that removes sin. It's the only thing that redeems. It's the only thing that justifies. It's the only thing that sanctifies. It's the only thing that brings peace. It's the only thing that gives us access into the throne room of God, into the most holy place. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, if you look in Hebrews again, I'm not going to take the time to look at all of this, but in chapter 9, verses 16 through 21, it talks about the new covenant coming into play because of the blood of Jesus. In other words, the New Testament could not have come without the blood of Jesus. I'm grateful for the preparation of the Gospels where we saw, and then the church began, you know, in the book of Acts, which really there's not a lot of doctrine in the book of Acts. That's why we say the new covenant telling us about it starts in Romans. The church started in the book of Acts. And you know, but don't anyone leave here and not say, oh, Pastor Mark said the Gospels aren't important. That is not what I said. Read them. If you don't think I'm important, why would I spend the whole whatever I did? We went through every chapter in John, the Gospel of John. Yes, it's important. But if you try to get, why do I got to do this again? If you try to get all your doctrine from just the Gospels, you're going to get messed up. You got to see who Jesus was talking to. And a lot of times he was talking to religious people, trying to straighten them out, tell them what was coming. Aren't you grateful for a new and better covenant established on better promises? What did that? The blood of Jesus. And so here in Hebrews chapter number 9, it's talking about, it talks about where there's a testament, there's a necessity of a death of the tester. And so that's talking about Jesus. I'm just going to read it. Hebrews 9, 16 through 21. For when a testament is, there's also the necessity, the death of a tester. For a testament is of force after men are dead, Otherwise, it's no strength at all while the tester lives. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Even the first testament, the Old Testament, was dedicated with blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both of the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. So what it's saying is, so the new covenant was brought in by the blood of Jesus. All right, let's get to this, and I'm gonna get to my main point tonight. I thought you were having your main point. No, I was just telling you all that stuff to get to my main point in just a minute. Revelation 12:11. What does it say? We use this one a lot. We overcome by how? How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. One of my pastors used to say, the amount of word in your testimony. Because it's not talking about, this is not giving a testimony of what God has done. This is something you're right in the middle of. This is how you overcome. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb. So the blood of the Lamb is powerful. You know, I know a lot of people in Word of Faith circles, they don't like this terminology, but we use it anyway because I like this terminology. I plead the blood of Jesus. What does that mean? I bring to the forefront all that the blood of Jesus has done, and I plead it. I make it aware. Amen? Well, you believe in putting the blood, around your property? Uh-huh. Do you believe in putting the blood around your car? Yes, I do. Do you believe about putting the blood on a bill? Uh-huh. I do. Nothing's ever, I don't see it, but what am I saying? I'm enforcing my covenant right. I am in a covenant with the Most High God because of the blood of Jesus, and that's the blood I plead. I'm telling you that I am enforcing my covenant, and I have a covenant because Jesus shed his blood. I've entered into a new and better covenant, and that covenant brings me some rights and privileges that other people don't have. It brings me angels. Amen. And there's more with us than against us. Amen. And a lot of people don't know they got some, and so there's lots of angels standing around doing nothing. And so they're looking for somebody who will speak the word, because the Bible says they hearken unto the voice of the word of God. And so if nobody's talking, if you and I do all the talking about the word of God, then we're going to have a whole lot of angels working on our behalf to do what? To enforce the covenant. To enforce, to give us protection, to do Psalms 91 on our behalf. Oh, I believe in angels. And I believe they're at work for us because of our new and better covenant. You don't have to see one to believe in them. You just know that they're working, and you don't stand around trying to order. Now, angel, you go do this, and no, you just say things like this: "My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." What does that do? That allows an angel to go do something for you. Amen. Because I fear him, because I've set my love on him, the angels camp round about me, and they protect me. I will not dash my foot against a stone. If I'm not going to dash my foot, I'm not going to dash my head. I'm not going to dash my car. And I'm sure not going to let this plane be dashed that I'm uncomfortable riding in. But I'm not going to let it be dashed. You know, honestly, I don't recommend in growing past your fear, but I've shared openly before that I wish I could have been a pilot, because at least in my mind, I'm in control. But I didn't think about it too much because, we got big angels, and they're working on our behalf, and the word works. And we know the Holy Ghost. And listen, because you have a new and better covenant, because you talk this way, then if you go to do something and there's an accident waiting right up the road, now I'm going to get right kind of into where the Lord was dealing with me about. You know, if there's something coming up on 565, he may say, "Today I'd like you to go Highway 72, but Lord, it's so much more and it's out of the way, but that's the way I want you to go." And so you'll learn to say, "Yes, sir." We had this one lady, she was new to the church, and she was on the worship team, and on Monday night, the Holy Ghost kind of dealt with her, and she didn't really understand it. She just felt like she shouldn't go home the same way as she normally did. And where she was brought up in church, when you get something like that, you just say, oh, Lord, cover that. But see, that's not an appropriate response to the Lord telling you to go, oh, I'm just going to use my faith. No, you were in faith, and he told you to do something different. Now, no matter what you say, it's not going to change anything. You've got to do what he said. And he told her to go home another way. Well, her prayer of cover it, Lord, didn't work, and she got in an accident. And thank God it didn't kill her. But how many know if she went home the other way, well, Lord, where were you? He told you to go home the other way. That's where he was. Well, couldn't he change it? Well, you're not God, and I'm not God, and if he told you to go home the other way, you should just quit arguing with him and go home the other way. You got, what does that have to do with the blood? Well, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. So if you understand I'm overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and I'm speaking the word, when you do that, the Holy Ghost will begin to talk to you. When you begin to speak with a double-edged sword, it'll come out of you. Then there'll also be that double-edged sword will also maybe give you some inward knowings about some stuff. Which brings me to the next thing. In the old covenant, they were in the land of Egypt, and it was time to go. The people had cried, and the Lord sent them a deliverer. And after all the plagues, we're on the last one. And you know this account very well. But then because, and remember this is an old covenant, a death angel was coming. And so what did Moses, God's spokesman, tell them to do? They began to do Passover. Everyone say Passover. Passover is where we get communion. Passover is the foundation of the Lord's table. It's the new covenant version of Passover. And so you all know this, but this is what I woke up with, and this is what the Lord's been dealing with me about. Listen, we live in a very interesting time, and interesting and weird and some scary things could be on the horizon. But you and I do not have to live in fear. Not global fear, but even not individual fear. And when I was preparing today, this seemed to be where I needed to hit. I want to tell you all the rest of them because I love to talk about the blood. But I want everybody in this room to realize and understand in a time when so much is going on with terrorism, with world leaders, with this being, Pastor Rhonda on Wednesday has been talking to you, and we are clearly in the last days. Pastor Mark, when's Jesus coming? He's coming in the last days. Do you know when? In the last days. And where are you and I living? In the last days. How do we? So, because it really don't take a genius to figure out he's coming still. And he's not come yet, and he's coming. And all there's so many signs like she's been going through. And then there's other people that you can see who more operate in that and teach out of those things. We've had Joe Morris in before, and I know he does an update. You can look, just Google his name. He's a fun guy, and he keeps up with a lot of stuff. I mean, we are living in the last days. When you see earthquakes and famine and wars and rumors of wars, and listen, I've told you this before. Jesus said those things would come. You can't pray that stuff away. Now, being in Chile, I did my best, and I didn't feel no shaking when I was there. Hallelujah. And I don't believe we as believers have to be caught in the middle of it, because the Lord can tell you where to be. But just if we all got real good at praying, we're not going to pray every war away. You're not going to pray all the famine away. You're not going to pray all the plagues, weird diseases. You and I have to understand that. But it seems to me, I don't know what's coming, and it's not to bring fear, but it's to, as a church and as a body, say anything that's coming to our area, we say no to. We say no to anything that would try to attack our families. I believe you have, no matter how old your children are, you still have covenant rights over your child. Now, when it comes, they get to a certain age, they've got to make their own decisions, and they have to have their own relationship with the Lord. But no matter how old you get or they get, you're still mommy and daddy. And so you do have limited authority in their life, and your authority stretches out over them and family members. As a pastor and pastors, those who submit to us, those who think of more than us as just teachers or, you know, where they go to church, but those of us who we are their pastors, we have more authority in their life. And so we're about, I'm going to act like I'm from Alabama. We're fixing to use it. I'm going to use it tonight. And I'm going to reach it out over this church and those who belong here as we take Holy Communion, and I'm going to exercise my authority, because this is the deal. If in the old covenant, a type or a shadow could do that much, how much more the real? Because that's what they were dealing with in the book of Exodus. They put the blood on the doorpost from a lamb. You remember, every family together, and if you were a single individual, then you found a family, because it's about family to him. And so we as a church family, even though everybody's not here, I'm going to extend it out as far as I can to everybody who calls this home, and we're going to partake together. And as we're doing that, I want you to join me, and then I want you to partake for your individual family, for your children. I want you to extend your authority out that way. But Pastor Mark, do you have something specific on your heart about something coming? All I can tell you is I woke up knowing on Monday morning that we had to do this. And so I don't want you getting somber on me. I don't want you getting concerned on me. I want you to know that because you're a person of the Spirit, God goes ahead. And so you say, well, is something coming? What we do tonight may just change it all. Amen. There's power. That's why I do this by leading. There's power in what this represents. This is the blood of Jesus. This is the body of Jesus. And in a type, they put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel had to pass by. Had to. They had a covenant that wasn't as good as ours. And when they partook of the lamb and the bread, every one of them, come on, these were slaves. They didn't have health care. They didn't have the medicine we have today. They didn't have the doctors we had today. This was thousands of years ago. The Bible does not lie and does not exaggerate. Every one of them, there was not one. Uncle Joe, Aunt Sally, LaQuisha, nobody. Not a one. Nobody was sick. Nobody had a broken leg anymore. Come on, these are bricklayers who had just been traipsing all over Egypt. They didn't have any what's those things everybody sells today and wears, those comfortable sandals? They didn't have them. Crocs. They didn't have Birkenstocks. They had no Crocs. They had nothing. Egypt. They didn't have their Fiji water with them. Come on, there's a lot of sick folk, a lot of malnourished, a lot of broken legs, a lot of broken arms, a lot of problems. Not one sick or feeble among them in an old covenant. Just for fun, can I put a cherry on it? These are slaves. And now they're wearing the best. you know, loaded up, rings. And they carried out all the silver, all the gold, all the raiment. Why would God steal from them? Hey, he didn't steal from them. They were on a, they didn't even know it. They were on a savings plan. Because of an Israelite named Joseph who saved their bacon. Bacon's not a good thing to say about the Israelites. Saved their behind. Many times before, because without Joseph, they would have gone under. God sent him ahead, the Bible says, to preserve Israel alive. Because he had a covenant. Now you got one, and it's better. And so I really, so, you know, I want you to think about it. It's not maybe as big or dramatic as it was, but I would have loved to be there, and I want to see the replay of you got all these people, these Israelites, outside grilling at the same time. Reports say there's a million of them. Everybody, come on. It would just be cool if everybody in Madison and Huntsville grilled at the, would it not put an aroma in the air? Now, we wouldn't be grilling no lamb. We'd be grilling some ribs. But would that be cool if everybody, just these two cities, there's not a million people here. But the odor, the smell, I would think the devil had to be getting nervous. What's up? What's up? So I want you to let go and really release your faith. I don't have anything particular on my heart except the Lord said do it. And so we're going to do it. So whether to me it seems like something to me that's more of a global thing, that we need to begin to participate in, to use our faith to stop or to lessen. And then while we're here, we're going to take care of our families. Nobody falling off no ladders. Nobody getting in any car wrecks. You say, you can do that? Sure. I believe we can. And people are going to listen and they're going to obey. We're all going to be at the right place at the right time while we're here. School's starting back up in August. We've got lots of schools and lots of college campuses that I believe, because we have authority, that we can use our authority to protect them and watch over them. And then I also had this on my heart, and particularly because the church is located in Madison, I'm going to be using my faith to protect the police officers in Madison. And so if you from a different city and you have something on your heart for that, but I had that rolling around on my heart. Nobody around here who's trying to protect and serve, we're just gonna bless them. We're gonna watch over them with our faith. All right, so we're gonna do this a little different. We're gonna pray. How are we gonna do this? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Dion, you come up. Five of you come up, get one of these. Stand, just stand right here in front, kind of spread out a little bit. We got pretty new things. I just want you all to look at them. Hallelujah. No. They're white gold. No, I don't know what they are. I think they're... So just kind of spread out, the five of you. Way down further. Go kind of, yay. One more. Keep going. There you go. Keep going. There you go. That's pretty good. All right. So this is what we're going to do, because I want it to be different tonight, because I don't want you to be in a ritual, because I really think this is that important. We're going to pray, and then, you know, I don't want like long lines, but I want you to come up and individually get it, and then take it back to your... I want you to take it back to your seat, and then when you're ready, after you've prayed, after you've exercised, because some of you might have a lot more exercising to do than others. I want you to end it, and then we're going to, you take it, and then we're gonna go back a little bit in time. We're gonna do some blood songs, and we might have a little church. Hallelujah! So let's all stand. I'm gonna pray a general prayer. And then when I say amen, if you're ready to come up, you can just come up to one of the guys and get it and then take it back to your seat. And then I really, really want you to exercise your authority over your family, over things that pertain to you. Father, we're so grateful for the scriptures that we've read about the blood. I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus. So grateful for the blood of Jesus. And Father, we're also grateful for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're grateful for these two elements that we're talking about. But we mostly talked about the blood tonight. And so, Father, we honor the blood of Jesus. We know there's power in that blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The same in the old covenant, it was a type and a shadow. If that blood could protect, the real protects us today. And I thank you as we invoke our covenant tonight. Families of this church are protected and watched over. And then as a nation, and then as we go international, I thank you, Father, whatever the devil is up to, I say in the name of Jesus, you're out of order. It is not your time. And I demand in Jesus' name that you back up and you back off. I command any plot, anything that needs to be exposed and be found out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we're so grateful for the covenant right that we have, and we just thank you for it in Jesus' name.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.